word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now, let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible.
Imagine a talented sculptor taking a piece of wet clay into his hands, working with it, molding it, shaping it, until it takes the form that he has planned for it in his mind. And once it takes that shape, it becomes something perhaps functional, perhaps beautiful, perhaps both. But only as the clay remains soft in the hands of the sculptor can it become what the sculptor intended for it to be. In a similar way, God's Word forms and shapes us into the people that God wants us to be. If we are soft and humble, surrendering to God's leadership and direction, allowing His Word to come into our hearts and change our thinking and our behavior, then God's Word can take us and mold us and shape us into the men and women that God wants us and needs us to be. Over a century ago, Victor Hugo said, "England has two books, the Bible and Shakespeare. England made Shakespeare, but the Bible made England," end quote. President Woodrow Wilson said, "America was born to exemplify that devotion to the elements of righteousness which are derived from the revelations of Scripture," end quote. Both of these comments indicate the power of God's Word to shape an entire nation, to shape an entire civilization. When you go back to the Old Testament on an even grander scale, the Scriptures helped to shape the nation of Israel into what it was. But the most important thing here is that God's Word is supposed to shape the church today into what God would have it to be. And as that happens, it's going to shape our individual lives as well. If God's people ever get away from loving, reading, and obeying the Word of God, then they're going to soon get away from being the people of God. So, in order to impress the importance of this, I want us to study an occasion from the ministry of Ezra and Nehemiah. The work of Ezra and Nehemiah began with rebuilding important structures in the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, God's city of the Old Testament, had been destroyed by the Babylonian army decades earlier. So Ezra led a group of people back to the city and rebuilt the temple, the place of worship. Later, Nehemiah led another group of people back to Jerusalem and led a campaign to rebuild the walls that surrounded the city of Jerusalem. But at the time of the text that we're going to be studying, both of these tasks are already complete. The temple is standing, the worship has been reinstated, the walls are standing, the life of the city is now safe and secure again as it once was. And now Ezra and Nehemiah have a new job, a very important job. They've already rebuilt the structures. Now they team up to rebuild the people, to get the people back to the way of life that God wanted them to live. Isn't that really what we're always trying to do? Every day, every week, every month, every year, we're looking at our lives and we're thinking, is there anything about my life that needs to change to get back to the life that God wants me to live? Well, that's what this passage is all about. Ezra and Nehemiah gathered all of the people together with open hearts to receive the Word of God. Ezra stood up before them to read and explain God's Word so that they could understand it. And there was an attitude there that day that is very impressive. And that's really what I want the focus of this study to be. the attitude that was present on this particular day. Because that is an attitude that we want to be evident in our own lives today. God's word has the power to shape us into the people that God wants us to be when this attitude is present. There are three parts of that attitude that we're going to emphasize. Number one, there was an attitude that craved understanding. Number two, there was an attitude of rejoicing in the Word of God. And number three, there was a commitment to obeying the Word of God. Where there is understanding, rejoicing, and obedience, God's Word can shape us into the lives that He wants us to live. So let's think about each one of those aspects of this attitude. First of all, understanding. You begin to see this in the scene when Ezra brings the book before the people. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, the Bible says, "Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood which they had made for the purpose, and beside him at his right hand stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Urijah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah, and at his left hand Padiah, Mishael, Malchijah, Hashem, Hashbanana, Zechariah, and Meshulam." So the first thing that stands out to me about this is that I notice that it was the people that told Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, that what we would call the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. Now, Ezra didn't have to be persuaded here. Ezra was a scribe. He was a teacher, and that his life had been devoted to studying, understanding, living, and teaching the Word of God. But here, it wasn't Ezra who told the people that they needed to listen to the book. It was the people who asked Ezra to bring the book so that it could be read for them. The fact that they asked for the book shows that they are there out of love. It's their love for God and their love for His Word that's motivating them to do what they're doing. Because they love God, they want to hear what God has to say. They have a hunger and a thirst for that. They were not there only because of a sense of obligation. Ezra and Nehemiah were not forcing them to be present here. And you know, that's really, that is a major thing to consider when it comes to our attitude toward God. Do we serve out of love, or do we serve out of obligation? 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." Now, when you're doing something out of love, it is not a burden to do it. You enjoy doing it. You take pleasure and joy in it. Only when you're doing something that you don't want to do does it become a chore and a burden. And that causes us to stop and evaluate the attitude that we have when we read God's Word, when we go to church and we hear it preached. Is our mindset, "I have to go hear God's Word," or is my mindset, "I get to go hear God's Word"? Because there is a world of difference between those two mindsets. The mindset I see here is we get to hear God's Word. It's a privilege. It's a blessing. And they're motivated by love. Now, when they said, "Bring the book," there was no discussion about which book they were going to bring. Only one book was commanded by the Lord, as verse 1 indicates, and that's the book that God had received, that Moses had received from God at Mount Sinai. as we said a moment ago, these first five books of the Old Testament. Now, when God gave that book there, there was the smoke, there was the lightning, there was the thunder, there was an earthquake. It was evident to everyone that God was present in that mountain, and God was giving the law to Moses. And likewise today, when we come together as God's people, there's really only one book that we need to hear from. It's not the newspaper. It's not what's being reported in social media. It's not the books of the philosophies of men. There's only one book that's going to save our souls, and that's the Bible. Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So on this particular day, the people that wanted to be close to God begged Ezra to bring the Bible. And that's the attitude that we want to have today. You know, I also notice that it says the people listened attentively from morning until midday. That would be approximately 6 hours. Not many of us have ever attended a worship service that lasted that long. But the impression that I get from these people is time was not a factor here. The people came with a hunger and thirst for the Word of God, and even after 6 hours, that hunger and that thirst was still there. These people came eager to take the law home with them. And we need to understand that our attitude toward the Word of God is a reflection of our attitude toward the Lord Himself. Sometimes a sermon is only evaluated by how long or how short it is, when it should be evaluated based on how full it is. It should be full of Scripture. It should be full of love. It should be full of application. It should be full of praise and thanksgiving toward God. And that's what matters. And so you can't help but be impressed with this attitude of understanding. But then, taking that understanding a little bit further, not only did Ezra bring the book, but then he opened the book. In Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning in verse 5, the Bible says that Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. More than likely, this was a scroll, so when the Bible says he opened the book, he's unrolling the scroll so that he can read from it. But what's interesting about this is that verse 5 says, when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen. While lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So Ezra unrolls the scroll, and as he opens it, it says, all of the people stood up. I don't know how this happened, but the way I picture it, you know, maybe one of the elders of the people who was up close to the front who could see Ezra unrolling the scroll, he was motivated by his honor and respect for God and his word, his love for that. And when he saw that scroll open and he knew that God's word was about to be read to him, he stood up. Other people seeing that began to stand up too. And that filters throughout the crowd until eventually everyone there is standing in front of Ezra as he prepares to read the book. Now, I've read this several times, and I am convinced this is a description, not a prescription. It was a choice, not a command. I can't find anything where Ezra commanded the people to stand up. I believe it was a genuine, sincere gesture on their part to indicate their deep reverence for Scripture. They stood out of respect, just like we stand for the national anthem. We stand when the bride enters the auditorium, we stand for prayer, and we stand as a gesture of honor and respect. These people stood to respect and honor the Word of God. And that motivation came from within, their love, their respect, their gratitude. And you hear it also with their amens. When Ezra blessed the Lord, they said, amen, amen. They lifted up their hands unto God, and they bowed their heads in humble reverence. And they treated the reading of the book as though God was reading it himself. It might as well have been God standing on that pulpit reading this book instead of Ezra, because they showed the same respect. That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. I don't ask for respect for myself as a preacher. I don't deserve it. I don't. I'm not just saying that. I don't deserve it. I am human as much as anyone else. I am weak, and I am feeble. I don't deserve any respect. But anyone who opens the Word of God and preaches it, the preaching of the Word deserves respect. It is an opportunity for us to hear the voice of God and draw closer to Him, and we should treat it that way. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the Bible says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." As it is the Word of God. And the actions that I see here in Nehemiah 8 inspire me to cultivate the deepest respect for the reading and teaching of Scripture. But not only did Ezra bring the book, not only did Ezra open the book, but he also explained the book. Nehemiah 8, verses 7 and 8, talks about how Nehemiah helped the people to understand the law. The people stood in their place, and so they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. Six times in this passage, the Bible emphasizes the importance of understanding. We have to be able to take what God's Word says from long ago and apply it to the life that we're living right now. And for us, you know, for me, reading this passage, I'm wanting to take the attitude of these people that I read about long ago, and I want to make sure that it's the attitude that I have today, right now, right here. That's understanding. Understanding God's Word is knowing how this book should change the life that I'm living right now. And Ezra and Nehemiah made sure that that was available to the people here. They read distinctly and gave the sense of the book. Particularly, something that probably was happening here is these people, they had been in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. Many of them did not speak the native language of the Israelite people. They had that was something that had fallen by the wayside over the years. And as the scriptures were written in that native language, there was a need to bring that into a language that the people would understand. God wanted the Word of God to be spoken in the language of the people, which is still true today, and it is important that we continue to work on the process of translation so that we can make the Word of God. Well, first and foremost, we want to preserve the accuracy of what was said, but we also want to make it relatable. We want to make it accessible and easy to understand for people. The whole purpose is understanding, to be able to take the Word of God and apply it to life. But also, this scene points to the true purpose of preaching the Word of God. It is not entertainment. A preacher, first and foremost, is not a comedian. He's not a motivational speaker. Not that there shouldn't be motivation in his sermon, and not that there's anything wrong with humor. But that is not his first priority. The purpose of the preaching of God's Word is not entertainment. It is enlightenment. It is to help people see God more clearly, to know His love more deeply, and to understand His will more fully. And that was the focus of Ezra here, and it needs to continue to be our focus today. So there was an attitude of understanding, a craving for that. And my hope and prayer is today, as we study this, is it inspires that kind of craving in us as well. And that understanding led to the second aspect of this attitude that we want to emphasize, and that's rejoicing. Now, rejoicing wasn't the first reaction of the people when they heard the word of God. Their first reaction was to weep. In Nehemiah 8:9, the Bible says that Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Now, why do they weep? They wept because as they heard the word of God, they realized how far their lives had drifted from God's will. Sometimes it's painful for us to read the word of God, isn't it? We open it up, it's like a mirror, and we look in there and we see things in about ourselves that we don't like very much. The Word of God makes us realize times when we've been dishonest, times we've been impure, times that we have been hurtful to others or disrespectful to God. And sometimes there's a sting that goes along with the Word of God. It produces guilt, and we weep over that, because we understand that the pain that our sin has caused God, the sacrifice that Jesus had to pay. And that's not a pleasant step for anyone, but it is necessary. Because the 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, "Godly sorrow produces repentance that leads to salvation, not to be regretted." That sorrow that we feel motivates a change in us. And if that change brings us closer to God in faith and confession of our sin, then He will save us. And so that our sin can be washed away, forgiven, and forgotten forever. So that initial weeping is not easy, but it leads to something wonderful. And that's what Ezra and Nehemiah were saying to the people here, that they could see them beginning to weep, and they stopped that. They said, "No, this is a holy day unto the Lord. You're going to rejoice today in what God has given you." Ezra helps the people understand their forgiveness, and that changes their weeping into rejoicing. And the Bible is able to do that for us. It may bring us to that painful moment when we realize our sin, but it can also bring us to the realization of forgiveness that restores our peace and our joy. In Nehemiah 8, verse 10, Ezra said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And the Levites quieted all the people, saying, "Be still. The day is holy. Do not be grieved." So all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions, and rejoice greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. Their rejoicing came when they understood the word of God. I'm going to tell you something, folks. The joy that you can find in God's Word cannot be found anywhere else in this world. You may have all of the money in the world, you won't find it. You can't buy it. You might be the most popular person in the world, it won't make you happy. There's only one place to find real satisfaction in this life, and that's in a relationship with God that's based upon His Word. At first, these people felt the sting of God's word, but the deeper they went in understanding, the more that changed into rejoicing. When Ezra says, "Eat the fat," he means eat the best cuts of the meat, and have the prime rib and the filet mignon. Rejoice today. You know, it is as wrong to mourn when God has forgiven you as it is to rejoice when sin has defeated you. Many of us, I think, struggle with that, even after we have obeyed the gospel, even after we have sought God's forgiveness for the things that we've done wrong, we continue to carry that guilt with us, and it continues to cause sorrow. I know it's easier said than done, but I hope that we can take to heart the message that this passage has for us. If you've brought your sin to God, His grace and mercy has forgiven it. There's no need for you to carry it one step further. I pray that your understanding of this will bring rejoicing into your life just as it did for this people. God's word can bring healing. Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Your words were found and I ate them. Your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name." Now there's one final aspect of this attitude that I want to emphasize, and that's their commitment to obeying the word. Nehemiah 8:17-18, the Bible tells us that in the process of reading the scripture, the people realized there was a feast that they had neglected. It was called the Feast of Tabernacles. And for 7 days, the people lived in tents or booths. And this was a time for looking back and remembering the time when their ancestors wandered in the wilderness, and they lived in tents during that time. It was also a time for giving thanks for the harvest blessings that God had provided. So it was just basically a time to look back and to look up and to be drawn closer to God in thankfulness. And because they had been in captivity for so long, this was a feast that had been neglected. But these people, once they realized that there was something that God wanted them to do that they weren't doing, instead of becoming angry or bitter about it, they were very humble. They said, if this is what God wants us to do, then that's what we're going to do. Verse 17 says that the whole assembly of those who returned from the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until the day of children of Israel had not done so. And there was very great gladness. Now, there was rejoicing before, but now there's very great gladness. And also from day to day, from the first day until the last day, Ezra read from the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and the 8th day was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner. So as much joy as they had in hearing the word of God, there was even more joy and gladness in obeying the word. And that's something we have to take to heart as well. It's one thing to understand with the mind. It's another thing to live it in our lives as best we can. Folks, that attitude, if that's the attitude that we will take for ourselves, it is an attitude that will allow the Word of God to shape us into the people of God, just as the sculptor sculpts the clay. Friend, if there's anything that we can do to help you in your pursuit of God's Word, we hope that you'll contact us today.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week to this same station at this same time. Please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.